Okay, so welcome to our first Lunch and Learn. We're going to be focusing on the Sefer Olam HaMidos. One of the reasons why I picked this particular Sefer is because it was written by a gentleman named Rabbi Moshe Don Kestenbaum, who not only is alive and well, but he's a pretty young guy. He's like somewhere, I think, in between my age and Rabbi Rice's age. So not only is a contemporary, it's like the most contemporary you could really get. Hopefully it will be, therefore, more sort of relatable to us living nowadays. He's not just someone who lives nowadays, he's someone who even works in yeshivas and institutions that we probably are familiar with. Right now he works as a mashkiach and a rabbi in Heichal HaTorah in Teaneck, and he was previously at the yeshiva in Waterbury, who's most known for their fantastic music, at least by us. So, someone who I think we could hopefully learn a lot from, especially considering the fact that he's writing these Svarim. This was his first, he now has a second Olam HaAvoda as well. These Svarim are being written really with a very sort of contemporary and current really perspective. So Olam HaMidos, I think hopefully from the name people can infer that we're talking about Midos, character traits, refinement of those character traits, definitely the way that we interpret the word Midos and translate it to English of sort of traits and character traits. In the introduction, we're going to jump straight into sort of the main chapters, but just very shortly by way of introduction, Rabbi Kestenbaum opens the Sefer by telling us a little bit in sort of a general way about Midos in general and the refinement of those Midos. And he opens the Sefer, he opens the sort of introductory section by quoting a pasuk from Mishlei, where we are told, Hechzak b'musar al teref, nitzareha kihi chayecha. We're told we should be strong, we should be ardent in our sort of adherence to the precepts of Musar. We shouldn't let go of it, we shouldn't let it pass us by. The sort of the structure and the strict adherence to sort of these ethical moral values and the refinement of those moral values is our life, is our chayecha, our life. And the Gra, in his commentary on Sefer Mishlei about that particular pasuk, he comments on the phrase Kihu Chayecha, about the fact that it's saying that it's our life. And the Gra comments that our entire lives could be boiled down to this constant effort to sort of break the bad habits and break sort of out of these bad traits and different midos ra'os, these poor negative traits that we may sometimes have. And our whole life can sort of be summed up as the constant struggle to break these bad habits and replace them instead with the positive good habits and traits, which we sort of inherently maybe know intuitively a little bit, but hopefully through the course of learning through the Sefer, we'll have a more sort of clear understanding of the specifics of what that actually looks like. So with that being said, we're going to jump right into the first section, the first Mida in the Sefer, and that is the Mida of Emes, of truthfulness, of truth. And in keeping with the title of the book, the chapter is called Olam HaEmes, the world of truth. So why is it that the Mida, the trait of truth and truthfulness, is the first one that opens up this entire world of character refinement in the world of the Sefer Olam HaMidos? So Rabbi Kestenbaum so eloquently puts it, the foundation, the yesod, the fundamental sort of precept of all of our other Midos is, in fact, truthfulness, is Emes. Both sort of someone being truthful in a very literal sense in terms of not telling lies, not bending the truth, not telling little white lies, etc., all those sort of ways in which we sometimes maybe falter in this arena, but really just sort of the concept of truth in and of itself and a desire and a drive to sort of seek it out and get it and bring it in and sort of inculcate it into our lives. So the way in which he really sort of illustrates this point is by quoting a Maimar Chazal. It's from a Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin, where Chazal tell us that if someone bends their words or switches around what they're saying in a kind of devious and deceitful way, it's ki'ilu, they were ovid avodah zarah. It's like they worshipped idolatry. It's like they did something that's considered to be one of, if not the worst, sort of aveiras that a Jewish person can do and can commit. So the question that I obviously immediately asked upon reading this is, what's the connection? Where's the shaychus between telling a lie, bending the truth, a little white lie, whatever it may be, and worshiping Avodah Zarah, which is so chamor, so strict, so negatively viewed? It seems like maybe there's a mismatch in terms of the levels of severity that we would be drawing this comparison between the two. But if you think about it, what really, in essence, is someone doing by being Ovid Avodah Zarah? Whether they're actually worshiping an idolatry, whether they're just claiming to worship an idolatry, or maybe we can even sort of expand it and say that it's not just about idolatry, it's maybe about sort of following and at least claiming to follow other sort of theologies and philosophies and mindsets. What's really going on when a Jewish person who knows sort of the concepts, the precepts, the ideology of Judaism when they choose to then go and claim to be following a different theology and mindset. Here, obviously, Chazal is telling us in the context of Avodah Zarah, but I think we can maybe even bring it out to a more sort of generalizable idea, whether it's in the context of a more contemporary idea of atheism or other sort of worldviews and religions. What's really going on? So the idea is that a Jewish person who knows what they're quote-unquote supposed to be doing and knows the Torah and knows sort of the ideas behind what and why we do them, they have a lot of rules and a lot of structure to their life. And they can't do certain things because that's what the Torah and that's what Hashem tell us to do or not to do. For example, we know that we can't eat non-kosher and all the rules that are inherent in that general rule. But when a person really has a taiva, really has a strong desire to eat non-kosher, so they say, okay, I'm no longer Jewish or I'm no longer Orthodox, they find some sort of worldview, some sort of theology and ideology which permits them to do what they want to do. Why do they need an ideology at all? Why can't they just claim to be sort of a-religious and not have any sort of religious bent and idea? Because they feel guilty, basically. They want to have a system of belief that gives them permission to do those things which they want to do. Right? They want to be able to say, I ate the cheeseburger because my religious beliefs, my convictions tells me that it's allowed, that it's okay to do that thing which I just have this strong desire, this strong taiva towards and for. But really, ultimately, what does that indicate to us about that type of person? What are they really telling us about themselves by claiming to believe in this thing just in order to do what they want to do? So it could be summed up as sort of this general principle of sort of intellectual dishonesty. They're not being truthful with themselves. They're claiming to believe in something, or maybe they don't really believe in it, but they just say they do, because that gives them permission, that gives them an allowance to sort of do whatever it is they want to do and just play sort of loose and fast with rules or lack thereof of rules and do whatever it is that sort of comes to mind and whatever it is that's going to give them that sort of quick fix for whatever they seek out in terms of generally the material pleasures of this world. But ultimately, when you think about it, that's sort of the antithesis of truth. If we are, as Jewish people, supposed to be concerned with MS, both in the sense of not actually lying, but also in the sense of seeking out and caring about what is ultimately, bottom line, the truth, that's sort of the antithesis, the antithetical, sorry, idea of being a religious and observant Jew. So when Chazal tells us that if you go and you start to be devious, be deceitful, change your words around in a way that's getting close to or even lying. So what you're showing, what you're indicating is that you don't care about the emes, you don't care about the truth anymore, and that's kilu your ovid avodah zarah, because just like someone deludes themselves into thinking that what they're doing is okay, and they're really blinding themselves and lying to themselves about what the truth really is, because they know it in the back of their heads, but they're deciding not to allow it to be accepted by themselves intellectually. So you're becoming in that same category as someone who really is no longer caring about the truth. Also, additionally, why else is the truth sort of this fundamental idea to start the whole book with about exploring midos? Because in order to really care enough about refining ourselves, we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to do cheshbon hanefesh and do sort of the self-reflection, and we have to be honest about the areas in which we could use work and where we need improvement. If we're not honest with ourselves, if we're not emesthetic about what it is where we see areas of improvement, we can never really grow. We can never really refine those character traits because we don't think that we even need to work on it in the first place. If it's someone who maybe struggles in the area of, let's say, MS, of being totally truthful and cognizant of what the truth really is at all times, but if you don't even admit to yourself that you struggle with that and you claim to really be such an honest, truthful person, but sometimes you tell those white lies and bend the truth, then you're never going to get anywhere. You're never going to grow in that area. So sort of the starting point of being able to refine midos and work on ourselves is, in fact, the midah of truth, the midah of emes. So in this particular section of the chapter of the Olam Shel Emes, Rabbi Kestebaum tells us the sort of parable, the mashal of what goes on and what could theoretically be sort of the shortcomings, the pitfalls of believing in something else in order to give ourselves sort of this ability and allowance to do things. And he specifically brings up the example, it's from a story in the Gemara, with a tzeduki, someone who is one of these people who believes in the Torah Shebichsav, but not the Torah Shebaal Peh. And based on that assumption and sort of the refusal to accept the rabbinic law, they follow the law, generally speaking, almost always in an incorrect way, at least as we view it as rabbinic Jews. So the person's convictions and motivations may be correct in the sense that they want to fulfill what the Torah Shebichsav and what Hashem is telling us to do, but they're sort of, again, deluding themselves and blinding themselves to what the real MS of what we're supposed to be doing is. And therefore, when they perform mitzvahs, even with the sort of proper mindset and sort of the correct and pure intentions of serving Hashem, they do it in a way which is incorrect, and they perform mitzvos in an erroneous and in a wrongful way, because they're, again, blinding themselves to the truth because of whatever sort of convictions in another way they have. That's sort of an older analogy, but nowadays we can maybe sort of view this in the context of maybe someone who's like agnostic towards religion. They're not anti the idea of God, but maybe they just claim to sort of not really believe in anything at all in a sort of neutral way. But if they're really being totally honest with themselves, especially if they come from a more religious background and they've shifted away from that belief system, so they probably have some sort of inherent knowledge of what the MS is, or at least sort of an inkling, a sort of instinctive natia towards what the truth really is. But because they want to do whatever they do, they want to eat the cheeseburgers, they want to go out on the Shabbos, on Friday nights, on the Shabbos afternoons to do whatever activities they enjoy doing with their time, they twist themselves into believing that they don't believe in anything, or they claim to believe in nothing, which gives them sort of that allowance where they feel less guilty about doing the things that they want to be doing and following those taivas, those desires, as opposed to following what we obviously know to be true, which is our Torah and the halachos that govern our daily, weekly, monthly, yearly lives from thing to thing. So we'll stop there for today with that short and relatively brief introduction into the Olam Shel Emes. And next week, Amir Tashem, we'll pick it up, going a little bit further into that Midah of Truth, and get hopefully to some practical ways to sort of sharpen and refine that Midah in our own lives.